Welcome to Westmoreland Community Connections, a look at issues and happenings on Classic Hits 107.1 WHJB. Here now is your host, Jennifer Mealy, Chief Communications Officer and Managing Director of Evangelization of the Diocese of Greensburg.
Welcome to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. I'm so happy to be here with a longtime friend of mine from Westmoreland County. His name is Rizzy DeFabo, and Rizzy is the co-owner of Rizzo's Malabar Inn in Crabtree. Welcome to the show, Rizzy.
Thanks, Jen. Thanks for having me.
You know, your family has such an interesting story and such a dedication to the community, and I'm really happy that we're able to feature that story on Westmoreland Community Connection. So let's start from the beginning, Rizzy. Tell us about the family immigration from Italy and passing this restaurant on throughout the generations.
The restaurant opened in 1935 in Crabtree, Pennsylvania, small coal mining town. And my great-grandparents immigrated from the Abruzzi region of Italy. And they came first to Monongahela. And then from Monongahela, they ended up in Crabtree due to work in the coal mines and the railroad and things like that. So they opened up first. They had started out with a small grocery store at the present location that we're in today. And they sold things such as miners' caps to miners' picks, things that everyday life bread, canned goods, and things like that. And the funny part of it is they actually would get pasta from Italy in wooden crates to sell, and they would use those wooden crates to mail stuff back to Italy to our family there because the war was going on. And several things that they requested, believe it or not, were coffee and chocolate. So my great-grandmother would get those wooden crates, and she would fill them with chocolate and coffee and send them back to the family in Italy.
Wow. Isn't that amazing?
And very interesting. I don't know if the chocolate made it, melted, or what, but that's the story that went on there. So from that time on, when she was here working in the store, my great-grandmother, her name was Anna. She would be making pasta in the back, and she would serve it to people that come in to shop in the store. And at that time, a lot of people just put everything on credit, and they would pay later. So there was a little book that she had, and she'd write their name and keep track of what they needed. But the company, the coal mine company, wasn't very fond of her because she started to sell things to the miners at a lot cheaper price than the actual real company store that was owned by the coal mine.
Really? This is interesting. I did not know this part.
Yeah, so she wasn't very well-liked by the coal mining owners and people, but she did her thing, and she also sold moonshine on the side. She would make moonshine, and they would deliver the sugar real late at night, in the middle of the night, so nobody could see what was going on and things like that. It was a way to make a living during the Depression and things like that. You know, they did what they had to do to survive. So basically, she threw out the canned goods, put in some tables, and started cooking, and that was the birth of Rizzo's Malabar Inn in 1935.
Where did she get those recipes, Rizzy? I mean, did she have those recipes from her family in the Abruzzi region of Italy? Or
she did, but what she did was she worked for a very wealthy family there as a her and her sister worked for a very wealthy family as live-in maids and cooks. So she learned to cook she learned to cook very well for having to feed this family that she worked for.
Okay.
And she brought that talent with her and what she learned and used it here in the restaurant as well. But when things went bad, the family lost everything, and she had nowhere to go, so she immigrated to the United States.
Wow. Were they married when they got here already, or did they meet here?
No, they were married in Italy. My great-grandfather came first, and they had actually had one child, my great-aunt, Aunt Mary, and she had come over with my grandmother, and then they had settled in Monongahela first, and then here back, like I said, back here and into Crabtree. So after 1935, and they opened the doors for the famous Crabtree Festival and fireworks because she wanted to be open for that time when, you know, Cratcher would be hustling, bustling with everybody coming to see the fireworks, and the local Italian club was celebrating the Feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. So she wanted to be open and ready to go. So she'd never trusted the mail. She didn't like the mail. She didn't trust it. So she made my grandfather drive to Harrisburg to get a liquor license. And he went to Harrisburg, got the license, drove it home. And there was a gentleman here drinking moonshine and talking to my grandmother and telling her about this beautiful island called Malabar. And he kept telling her about the island Malabar. She wrote Malabar in on the license, and they drove it back to Harrisburg. She got her license, and she opened her doors in time for the Crabtree fireworks of that year.
Wow. What next?
Yeah, well, after that, my grandfather was born, Rizzo. He was quite an entertainer and a local crooner. He sang, and actually he sang with Fats Domino. He was a very big fan of Connie Francis. And when Connie Francis came on, my dad always said they pulled the car over. They rolled up the windows until the song was over so he could listen to Connie Francis. So when he took over, he put the name Rizzo in front of the Malabar Inn. And that's how that became the Rizzo's Malabar Inn.
I see.
And then he would sit in the dining room, entertain people with his guitar. And he had a premonition that location was everything, so he decided he was going to open up a pizza park, which many people still remember today. It was LaPecchi's Ice Cream first. It's on Route 30 down past, there's a tag shop there now, past Mountain View, and it was on the right-hand side. But he bought the building from the LaPecchi family, and for about 4 summers, he entertained people on the roof there with his guitar, and the traffic would stop going up and down Route 30 there to watch him. He had 3 shows a night, and people still remember going there, parking their car, and watching him on the roof sing, and he'd have other people up there with him to sing as well, and they'd tell jokes and things like that. But it was a pizza park, so they had car hops. And you would blink your lights, and the server would go over, and they serve burgers, pizza, foot-long hot dogs, milkshakes, things like that. So he wanted to be on Route 30, but we never closed the original location. They both went at the same time. So then after that, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so this was just an expansion of the business, but the original business continued.
The original business continued in Crabtree. And then he decided he was going to move further down. After the pizza park had closed, he moved further down Route 30 to, was next to Pete's Restaurant, if anybody remembers Pete's, as I'm sure most people do. It was right next to Pete's. There's a car dealership. It was a Chinese restaurant for years. Now there's a car dealership there. This is headed more up towards the mall area. And he opened that, and my Aunt Lucy ran that for a period of time. But I should rewind. He went further down Route 30 to the Key Sport, and he opened up a little drive-through window with gnocchis and spaghetti and pasta. It was a takeout only. And that lasted for a few years until it closed. But at that given time, everything was made in Crabtree, the sauce, the gnocchis, the pasta, and shipped to these locations.
Wow.
They had a hub here and then went to these locations. And I was doing a demonstration in Pittsburgh a few years ago, and a lady waited for me to be finished, and she came up to me and said that she actually worked at the McKee Sport location. And she said on snowy nights, she said when nobody was going anywhere, she said they would line up for gnocchis at this location. She said nobody really knew what gnocchis were at the time, you know, other than local churches would have gnocchi sales or like small community, coal patch towns, you know, not the bigger cities knew what gnocchis were. So she said that they would line up on snowy nights and for these gnocchi dinners and things like that. So then eventually all these closed, and the main location here in Crabtree is still going strong, close to 85 years. And I'm the fourth generation to work in the restaurant.
Wow.
My nephew and Carmen are the fifth generation to work in the restaurant.
Wow. And I mean, this is such a strong family history of recipes and, you know, just sort of passing all of this down. But it was sort of your dad and your mom's and your generation then that really built the restaurant business. Let's talk about some of the innovations that have happened in the last 25 years.
Well, in the last 25 years, once my dad had married my mom's family comes from the Molise region of Italy, a small town called Cerchio Maggiore. And it's a small mountain town. So when she married my dad, the menu was, the restaurant got introduced to her traditions and ways of cooking from the Molise region as well. So it kind of now holds two different, Molise and Abruzzi in Italy are right next to one another. They share a lot of common food traditions, but they still have their separate identities. And we represent both on the menu today. So when my mom and dad took over, the restaurant wasn't doing well at all. It was kind of just, actually was crumbling in front of them. And they kind of took the bull by the horn, to say, and they worked at it. They worked day and night. We came out as kids to help, and we just kept working at it to get it where it is today. So it just didn't happen overnight. It took a lot of heartache and tears and hard handwork to get where it is today. And people don't realize what it can take to get a business off the ground. And, you know, the restaurant survived the World Wars. It survived the Depression. We're out here in the middle of nowhere. There's no reason to come to Crabtree. There's no movie theater. There's no mall. There's nothing. So we are a destination restaurant. So we have to be at top of our game and above all, the best around. So we are a destination family restaurant. People have been eating here since as long as I've been alive. And that's 50-some years. So people come in here all the time and say, oh, we came here as kids. We came here with my grandparents. We celebrated this here. People come in. They used to have chicken wedding dinners here. You got chicken and pasta. So many people will come in and say, we got married upstairs here 60 years ago or, you know, 65 years ago. And it was chicken and pasta. They'll bring pictures of them upstairs in the dining rooms here or downstairs in the dining rooms. And they have come every year on their anniversary or they, you know, they'll come for, you know, family events and baptisms and communions and celebration type place.
And it's really become a hub, and you're right. I mean, it's definitely a destination. So you have to make it somewhere where people want to go. How about the building though, the construction of the banquet facility? That was really you and your brother. So that was sort of fourth generation, right?
Yes. We saw a need for the restaurant. We outgrew the restaurant to say, as far as people wanting to have large banquets. So we needed a space to accommodate them. So we built a banquet facility across the street, probably about 8 or 9 years ago now, which holds about 350, 400 people, depending on the event. And we introduced that. And now it's, booked with weddings and anniversaries and any type of event that a large crowd is needed, you know, large space is needed, but mostly it's weddings on the weekends. And then we kept adding on. We've added on in every direction of this main little house building that we could possibly go. So we can't go to the right, the left, back, or forward any more than we already already have. So we've kind of used it all up, and that's why we had to go across the street and open up something, which that building there can run all by itself. It's a full-staffed kitchen, fully equipped, and it can actually function on as its own building over there.
Yes.
Although the sauce is always still made in the same location.
That's good. That's good to know. Yeah, because I always see people walking back and forth when I attend an event there sometimes. But it's a beautiful facility. And you were really forced to innovate during COVID-19, isn't that right? I mean, this went from, you know, we built this infrastructure to accommodate large groups to, we can't have large groups. So what did you do?
Well, what we did was actually 1 year before COVID had hit, I had started a drive-through. And we're, thank God, we're very well known for our drive-thru throughout the area. And it's funny how it started. My brother my brother's older than I am. He's strictly business. I'm business, and I know how to have fun in between, but he doesn't. He's strictly business. So he constantly tells me.
He's not listening to this interview right now.
Yeah, he knows. I tell him all the time. He constantly would tell me that we need to do something, you know, to accommodate people that, like, the Grubhub started, the DoorDash started. Well, none of those little businesses would come out this far. Nobody's going to DoorDash to Crabtree or Grubhub. Or he's like, we need to do something that people can just pick up and go fast, you know, don't get out of their car. Every week he'd ding at me that we needed to do something. So I said, okay, we're going to do it. Here's what we're going to do. So I made up the very first night. It was chicken parm, side spaghetti, and a house salad. Drive up. I had a little wee area set up in our market. I thought, if we sell 50 dinners, I'll be so excited.
Mm-hmm.
So it was supposed to start at 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock, 2 hours. You know, blah, blah, blah. 3:30, I look out in the parking lot, and there is about 10 to 20 cars, 15 cars already lined up. I'm like, oh, wow. My goodness, this is crazy. So,
wow.
And he wasn't even here. He had went home for a little bit. I said, Jerry, you got to come down here. I said, this is no joke. He comes down, shoes untied, putting his work shirt on, and he's like, well, how much chicken do you have cooked? I said, well, I only figured like 50, you know, 50 would do 50 orders. We ended up doing close to 300 dinners.
Oh my goodness.
So, and that was 1 year before the pandemic had hit. It wasn't even heard of at this time. And so we decided that we were going to do it weekly. And now I'm sure people listening have been in the traffic mess that it causes going up and down 119. The police come. We have a road map through the parking lot.
It's like a serpentine kind of thing, yeah, to get as many cars as possible in there. Right.
Right, and try to keep them off the main highway. And people come in, they know what they want, 5 dinners, 6 dinners, and we load them up, put them in a box, and send them on their way. So we actually had that going way before COVID had even started. And actually, once COVID started, we did it 5 days a week.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
And that's really what kept us, our staff employed, and you know, the dining room staff worked, the kitchen worked, the drive-thrus, kept everybody as much employed as we possibly could.
You're listening to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm talking to the co-owner of Rizzo's Malabar Inn and Crabtree, Rizzy DeFabo. After the break, we're going to talk about his upcoming Italian Christmas market on December 6th and also the charitable organizations that he supports. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This is Westmoreland Community Connections on Classic Hits 107.1 WHJB. If you have a suggestion for a topic, or if your nonprofit organization would like to be featured on this program, call us during regular business hours at 724-216-1200.
Welcome back to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. Really enjoying my talk today with Rizzy DeFabo. He's the co-owner of Rizzo's Malabar Inn and Crabtree, and just has such a wonderful story, an interesting story about, you know, now what is a fifth generation business. And Rizzy, you really cling to those Italian roots, which I assume is why you're doing the Italian Christmas market on December 6th from 5:30 to 8:00. Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, Jenny, the Italian Christmas market features a variety of Italian Christmas items. One of them is the old Saint Nick Vietri dinnerware. Vietri is famous in the United States now. It's Italian dinnerware, and they have a line called the old Saint Nick, and it's all Christmas dinnerware, cups, mugs, platters, bowls. They even have aprons, tablecloths, napkins if they want Natale on them and things like that. But so we coincided, since it's an old Saint Nick dinner pattern, we actually call it Saint Nick Night because it is on the December the 6th, which is Saint Nicholas Day. So on December the 5th, when you go to bed, if you put your shoe out and you're good, you might wake up and find something in your shoe. So that's the tradition behind St. Nicholas. But anyway, the market is December 6th, 5:30 to 8, and we're featuring the dinnerware will be for sale. It's all hand-painted and imported from Italy. We also have the traditional Rizzo's products, such as our handmade chocolates, our sauces. You can purchase gift cards. Everybody loves a Rizzo's gift card. And we also have imported Italian sweets, such as the traditional Christmas panettone. And we have different varieties of that. You can get it in a box or in a tin. We also have an Italian line called Cinciullo. Cinciullo is in a small town, like I mentioned earlier, next to Church of Maggiore. And it is in a small town called Yelsey. And Cinciullo makes all types of little tarallis, mustacholis, panzerotti with apricot, and gianduja, which is a hazelnut cream. They make the Italian wine cookies. So we have that line as well. And then we also have a line of Cerignola. Cerignola is a vegetable company where we have like such things such as eggplant and sunflower oil, zucchini and sunflower oil. And it's a variety of different marinated items that you could use for your holiday parties, as same as the Cinciullo line as well. So you could come on in, you can fill your pantry with all these different holiday items, pick up a Rizzo's gift card, and we also have, like I said, we're featuring the dinnerware too, the Vietri dinnerware, the old Saint Nick pattern.
Bar will be open, correct?
It is. We have complimentary hors d'oeuvres, and there will be a cash bar.
Okay, perfect. Sounds like a wonderful night. Now, I know a lot of what you do is dedicated in service to the community. So I wanted to take a few minutes to talk about some of the charities that are really near and dear to your heart.
I love to support anything that has to do with children, sick children, children in need. You know, they're innocent. I do love to support Killeen Heights School. I think that they do wonderful work there, and I often go there. They have Santa Claus comes on a helicopter there, and I often go and play Frosty the Snowman for the students. So I like to support those types of organizations with special needs children or children in some type of need.
You know, I always see you, you know, raffling off something or, you know, donating to something or see you sponsoring something. I'm sure, you know, probably the need is never ending. But even at Easter time, you usually raffle off like a giant egg or something like that, right? To support
a
charity?
Yeah, we offer we did, it's Big Brothers, Big Sisters in Greensburg. As we did that, we did a 4-foot bunny for them. And it's a $1 raffle, and you get to entry to win the 4-foot chocolate bunny. So we did that at Easter time, and it supports that charity as well. We've done it for the Jeanette Food Bank. We've done it for them over the years. So different organizations, the Jamie Cordial Hall Foundation, I support that as well. So, you know, that's for children that lose parents or somebody, you know, parents in a tragic accident or just parents that pass away, children at a young age, how to cope with grief.
Mm. Mm-hmm. It's very important. And she was a good friend of yours, right? And died pretty
young. Yes, she was. Yes, she did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was, you know, that's very tough. And you do that. Has your family always been committed to giving back to the community? I mean, I know you open your doors on different feast days. You always are welcoming people in and trying to help.
Well, we try to help the community as much as we can, especially at the fireworks time here in Crabtree. We do a lot to help keep that, you know, give back to the community that way and keep that tradition alive. And we also try to help as much as we can with, you know, local sports teams and things like that. There's a lot of them. We can't help everybody, but we try to do our best to spread it around as best we can.
Rizzy, if someone wants to learn more about Rizzo's Malabar Inn, they want to learn more about the Italian Christmas market coming up on December 6th, if they want to see the charities you support, why don't you tell us about where they can go on your website, what kind of social media you have. Go ahead and talk about that for a minute.
They can go ahead to our website, which is rizzosmalabarian.com. We also have a Facebook page that you could visit as well. Also, at the Italian Christmas Market, if you're interested in any of our recipes or traditions, I wrote a couple cookbooks featuring the restaurant's recipes that we've served over the years, a lot of history of the restaurant, how it got started, and how my dad's family immigrated to the United States. And then I wrote one about my mom's family, their traditions, their foods. And so you can pick up a cookbook. I also wrote a children's cookbook called Rizzy and Nonna and the Wedding Cookies. It's a little story about her and I making the Italian wedding cookies together. So you could, like I said, the best place to learn about Rizzo's is on the website or the Facebook page. Go on there, and we're constantly posting different things that are going on or events and things like that.
Sounds wonderful. So are you gearing up for a busy holiday season? What's it like to be a restaurant family during the holidays? How does that work?
It's unexplainable. I can tell you it's totally unexplainable. And if you work in any type of service industry for the holidays, retail, restaurant, you're looking for January 1st to come real fast. So it's a great season, but it's a crazy, hectic, busy, stressful season. But if everybody just has a little bit of patience, everybody can get through it. But sometimes people tend to lose their patience along the way, and that happens. But you know, we're all human. So everybody makes mistakes, and nobody wants to wait in line, and nobody wants to do things, you know, to take extra step to that they have to wait. So, but it is the season, and if everybody keeps calm, we'll make it.
There you go. You're right. And then do you get a Christmas break? Do you close on Christmas Day or anything like that?
We're closed on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. We do celebrate as a large family on Christmas Eve here at the restaurant. And then Christmas Day again. And then we are closed January 1st and 2nd every year.
So you have a very small time off, but some time off at least.
Yes, exactly.
Where does the DeFabo family get food from on Christmas and Thanksgiving? Where does that happen?
We cook our own food. It's very well. My mom is always nervous. You know, Christmas Eve is our big. Christmas Eve is really our Christmas. It's celebrated real big in the Italian community. So there's probably about anywhere between 60 to 80 people that join us here at the restaurant. It's all family. And we have a traditional dinner with baklava, smelt, spaghetti with raisins. We do have a ham now. Before, we weren't allowed to eat ham. Italians weren't allowed to eat ham on Christmas Eve. Yeah. But now we have a lot of in-laws and outlaws, so we got to have the meet everybody's taste that we're allowed to have. We put the ham out. But my mom always is nervous. Oh, is we going to have enough of this? Are we going to have enough of that? Is it going to be good? Is it going to be, you know, is everybody going to like everything? What are they going to do? Tell me they're not coming back again. They'll be back. Don't worry about it.
That is fantastic. So, Rizzy DeFabo is the co-owner of Rizzo's Malabar Inn in Crabtree. They support dozens of community organizations with the work of their restaurant, opening their doors and trying as hard as they can to keep people going and keep people fed. There's an Italian Christmas market coming up on December 6th from 5:30 to 8. You can log on to their website at rizzosmalabarinn.com or visit their Facebook page for more information. Rizzy, it was a pleasure speaking with you today.
Thank you, Jen. It's always a pleasure to speak with you, and have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas.
You're listening to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. Thank you so much for listening.
This has been Westmoreland Community Connections, a look at issues and happenings in and around Westmoreland County. Join us again next week on Classic Hits 107.1 WHJB.